Welcome, Sunday night viewers, Calvary Baptist Church, and this is our Sunday night service, and we hope you're doing well this evening, and we hope you had a wonderful day today, and we are in the month of December, and we are one step closer to Christmas Day, and we're excited, been excited about November or December, and what we've been doing the past this week, including last Sunday. We've been centering our thoughts around Jesus, which He's the reason for the season. And we've been excited about that. This morning we talked about the unwrapping of the gift. Last Sunday morning we talked about the gift. And so we enjoyed that this morning. And I hope those of you that watched enjoyed as well. I want to say we had a good turnout this morning in God's house. And everybody is spacing out on the pews, and the majority, I would say, at least half, are wearing masks as they feel the need to. And of course, we appreciate that. But we're just here tonight for the evening service, looking forward to sharing some things with you from God's Word once again this evening. I do want to mention a few folks once again tonight. Concerning prayer, and then we'll pray. But let's remember tonight, Miss Rita Pearson. Rita Pearson. And this is Jimmy Pearson's wife. And she is supposed to, which is with the diplomats, much of you know. She has an upcoming surgery. Miss Lee Ellen Rich had notified me of this. And so let's remember her in prayer, an upcoming surgery. I know she would appreciate that, praying for her. And again, let's remember the Ivies tonight. Let's remember Welcome Hill, a close friend of mine, and many. Brother Johnny Ivy is with the Lord, but let's remember his family as they move along in life. Let's also remember, failed to mention this morning, but Brother Harold Dolph. And he's at home, and he's just staying in this Sunday, and so some health situations. So let's remember Brother Harold when we pray. Let's also remember Brother Charlie Wilson when we pray. He's at home, was at home today. And all of these others, let's pray for. I do want to lift up one more time Jeff and Sharon Hodges' son-in-law, Chris, who has cancer, and the doctors are working with him, and we're praying for healing for Chris. And of course, we'll remember everyone on the prayer list, and if you have a prayer request or something of a praise report, you can leave it on the screen as you watch if you feel comfortable. If not, you can message the church on Messenger or me directly or my email, and we'll be sure to pray for you. All right, well, we're going to pray tonight, and then we're going to bring about the message the Lord has laid upon our hearts. Just remember, next Sunday will be our Christmas service, and this is the Sunday before Christmas. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name tonight, and we're thankful for Christmas. You are Christmas. You're the reason for Christmas. The very word Christ mas, meaning more. We need more of you, Lord, not less. And so as we celebrate Christmas, we lift you up because that is what it's all about. And Father, thank you for reminding us that you are the best gift there ever was or will be. And Lord, thank you for allowing us to show a little bit about what was inside the box this morning as we unwrapped it. Lord, about the ministry by which you are here to complete, Lord, your ascension back into heaven. Father, we know you're coming again for us one day, and that day is very soon. We lift up all these requests tonight and pray that you'll be with every life, every person, every situation. Be with us now in the next few moments, and we'll praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Before I try to sing tonight, I want to thank the church for lifting up praying for one of our medics, Brother Nick Pickett at work. It's a pretty tough time. He was going through, went through ECMO, had a ventilator, was on a ventilator, been in the hospital for 47 days. Come out of the hospital, went to rehab. Things work well. He'll be at home here in just a few days. God's still on the throne. I wish I could say everybody that goes through that ends up the same way. I really do. But I thank God that God has chosen to spare this young man's life and give him his life back. And hopefully prayerfully he'll be back up on his feet here real soon. But I want to do this song for you. I don't know. I know I sing this an awful lot. And I don't know. I just tell you like this. It's kind of my testimony. This song has always spoken to my heart. Because, see, I don't care. Folks, I don't care how bad we are. I don't care what we've done. God don't look at the bad things that we did. He looks at what the potential we are. And he'll take an old, broken, wore out, tore up, destroyed vessel and mold that thing and make it into what he wants it to be. One day even to become a vessel of honor. You know what a vessel of honor, what that really means? A vessel of honor is a vessel that is not just one that sits on the shelf that's pretty. It's not just, excuse me, I might have to shout here in a second. It's not one that's just set there that's pretty, that collects dust. But a vessel of honor is one that's set on the table, and it's filled, and it's used. Yes. And it's used on a daily basis. Amen. One that can get that God can get honor and glory out of. I want you to listen to this song tonight, folks, and think about this just a minute. A vessel of honor I am today. Why? Because God didn't throw us away. He didn't throw me away. He didn't throw you away. If I got what I deserve, Brother Justin, I'd be in hell right now. If I got what I deserved, I wouldn't be here tonight. But I'm just going to thank God that he is a God of forgiveness. He's a God of second chances, and I'm thankful of that tonight. Empty and broken, I came back to him. A vessel unworthy and so scarred by sin. But he did not despair. He started over. Fashions this clay. Listen to this. A vessel of honor I am today, and it's all because Jesus didn't throw the clay. Molded in his likeness, you see he wants me to stay. But when I stumble and fall and my vessel breaks, he just picks up those old pieces. He doesn't throw the clay away. Me and makes me
passions is clay, a vessel of honor I am today, and it's all because Jesus didn't throw the clay away. I'm kind of home, sick for a country to which I've never been before. No sad goodbyes will there be spoken, for time won't matter anymore. Someday on thee I'll stand. There my home shall be eternal. I'm looking now across that river where my faith is gonna end inside. There's just a few more days down here to labor, then I will take, I'm gonna take my heavenly flight. And someday
I believe we're closer to going home than we've ever been before. I'm not just saying that. I mean that. And thank you, Brother Randy, for those songs. And I believe that everybody has their song, their verse of scripture, something that reminds them of God's deliverance in their life that's dear to them. And I don't care how many times Brother Randy sings that song. I love it every time. And Beulah Land too. And but anyway, tonight we're going to be in the book of Acts, chapter number 8 for a few moments. Acts chapter number 8. And I want to speak on a subject this evening that the last time that I spoke on that subject in its entirety was over 2 years ago here at Calvary. Hard to believe, but we have been preaching for over 2 years now here at Calvary. And Acts chapter number 8, and I want to read from verse number 35. Down to verse number 40, and it always does us well to refresh on subjects that we're really familiar with, but especially living in a day and age where there's all kinds of different beliefs when it comes to salvation and demonstrating one's faith. And so we just want this to be a refresher tonight on the subject of believers' baptism, and we hope it'll be a help and a blessing. I've referred to it a lot here lately, and so we're just going to do a refresher this evening on the subject. But here in Acts chapter number 8 and verse 35 through verse number 40 is actually a great place that gives us an explanation of believers' baptism. Notice, if you would, in verse number 35, "And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speakest the prophet this?" I'm sorry, that's verse number 34. We'll keep reading. "Of himself or of some other man?" Verse 35, "Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they came on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doeth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If," pay attention to that word, that two-letter word, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea." Again, these verses tonight are a great example of believers' baptism. Before I get into the message tonight, the lesson, I do want to reiterate what I said this morning about what we hold as far as being Christians, being Baptist. That's our branch in the tree is that we're Baptist. And in the Baptist church, we believe that there are two ordinances, and that is communion and believer's baptism. What is an ordinance, by the way? Well, an ordinance is a practice that demonstrates one's faith. Again, this morning we spoke about communion, and communion has to do with personally demonstrating one's faith. That is, we're thankful for the body of Christ that was broken. That's the bread. And we're thankful for the cup because that cup symbolizes the Lord's precious, innocent blood. And so this do in remembrance of me, the Bible says. And so we do that. We observe communion, which it's been a while and it's on my agenda. We're going to have to do a virtual communion if we don't get the little temporary disposable communion bread and cup they have nowadays. But that's an ordinance. And so we have that and we have baptism. But let me mention something else just briefly before we move on. There is also, not in the Baptist church, but many churches, or I'll say air quote religions, there are what you call sacraments. And especially in the Catholic Church, a sacrament is the opposite of an ordinance. You see, a sacrament is seen as a means of obtaining grace. And so while we exercise and we have these practices, these two ordinances, communion and baptism, we do that to show our faith. But a sacrament is an exercise and is seen as something one does as a means of obtaining grace. So a lot of times in the Catholic Church, they'll have Mass and they'll have all those other things. And we don't believe in sacraments. We believe in ordinances of the Baptist Church, of church. And so the question is, what exactly is believer's baptism? In detail tonight, what is it? What are some particulars about it? Well, that's what I like to try to cover this evening, is some particulars about believer's baptism. Number one, we see the motive in these verses concerning believer's baptism. The motive. Look in verse number 36. He says, "And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doeth hinder me to be baptized?" Notice, if you would, in verse 37. "And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And so the motive of baptism is wrapped up in the idea of a person accepting Jesus as their personal Savior. Look back in, we're in chapter number 8. Look in verse number 12. Verse number 12. "But when they believed," this was when Philip was at a different location before the Lord called him to the chariot of this eunuch. Verse number 12, Acts 8. "But when they believed, Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women, when they believed." And so tonight we see that the motive of baptism is wrapped up in embracing Jesus as your personal Savior. Again, this eunuch wanted to know what was hindering him from just going down and getting baptized. And Philip specifically emphasized the if factor. The if factor. Verse 37, "And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And then verse 38, he baptized him. Tonight we see the motive. If you go back and look in Acts chapter number 2, in verse number 41, you'll see it again. Notice in Acts 2, verse number 41, Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And so there is a receiving of God's word first. There is a prerequisite to baptism. And that prerequisite has everything to do with accepting Jesus as your personal Savior. Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 9 says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart, thou shalt be saved. Verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Did you get that? For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so these verses tell us the motive for baptism. If baptism was essential for salvation, if a person had to get baptized to go to heaven, then how do you explain verse number 10 of Romans 10? For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. You see, it's a heart matter. If you get baptized and you have never accepted Jesus into your heart, you'll just be a wet sinner, unsaved sinner. But the time that comes where you actually embrace him, you understand that you are a sinner and you understand that your sin has separated you between you and a holy God, and you understand Jesus is that mediator, and he came into this world, and he was unwrapped. He proclaimed who he was, and he died upon the cross and was buried, and he rose again. You have to accept salvation's plan first, and then after you've accepted the Lord into your heart, then you follow through with believer's baptism. You are publicly declaring to everybody what just took place. Again, it's an ordinance. It is something that demonstrates our faith. And so we see the motive tonight. Again, he was inquiring about baptism in verse number 36. That latter part says, what doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. Tonight we see the motive of believers' baptism. And the motive is you must first believe or accept Jesus as your Savior. But now, what about the method? What about the method? Do we get sprinkled when we become a Christian? No. You don't. When a person passes away, you don't sprinkle a little bit of dirt on them, do you? No. But you bury them. And in these verses, we see the method. And the method of baptism is immersion. Is immersion. The word immersion means, the definition, the action of immersing someone or something in a liquid. And so when a person gets baptized, a person gets saved, they accept Jesus as their Savior, and now they're publicly declaring to everyone their faith on the inside that they are what? A new creature. Old things were passed away. Behold, all things became new. That happened at the moment that they got saved and accepted Jesus, but now they're declaring it. And immersion gives a picture of someone that was buried, and now they're coming up out of the grave as a new creature. And so water baptism by immersion shows that. The action of immersing someone or something in liquid. The actual word for baptism is baptizo in the Greek, which means to immerse. In Hebrew, it's referred to as mikveah. My Hebrew ain't as good as my Greek. Mikveah, which means an immersion. And so the method has to do with going under the water totally and coming up on the other side, or coming up out of the water. We mentioned this morning that Jesus was baptized. And Matthew chapter 3 and verse number 16 tells us that. He was justified by the Spirit at his baptism. We know that the dove was lighted upon Jesus, and God the Father said, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." But why did Jesus get baptized? Many of the Church of Christ, they go to this verse and they say, well, Jesus got baptized, and so it's essential. Well, Jesus is a little different than us. He wasn't a sinner, we are. But Jesus was, what his baptism was on that day, it was identification. It was identification. It identified his purpose that he came to bleed and die and rise again. That was identification with his baptism, but also it was a pattern that we should follow, that we should accept his plan of salvation, and that we should walk in newness of life, but also publicly declare to everyone, we are made new. Jesus had no sin. He didn't have to have the same kind of experience we do. He was just setting a pattern, and it also proclaimed his purpose that he came to bleed and die and rise again. Now, again, that earlier we mentioned about, in joking, about being sprinkled. But there actually are some wrong views of baptism. The infant baptism is a wrong view. An infant baptism is a wrong view. And of course, within the Catholic Church, a lot of times they get dabbed, sprinkled, I don't know, however you want to say it. But we know that an infant, the brain capacity is not there. They have not matured and grown and able to understand that they're a sinner in need of a Savior. The other wrong view, not only is infant baptism, baptismal regeneration, what we just mentioned. And then the other wrong view is non-baptism. Not getting baptized at all. That's also a wrong view. But tonight, in 1 Peter, I want you to notice, this gives us a picture of what we're talking about. 1 Peter chapter number 3. Notice this. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 21. The Bible says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps." All right, that's chapter number 2. Now I'm about to read you chapter number 3. Forgive me. 1 Peter 3, verse number 21. Here it is. And he's using Noah as an example of baptism. Listen to this. We'll read verse number 20. 1 Peter 3, 20, then 21. "Which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls, were saved by water." Hold on a second. Look at verse 21. The like figure, whereunto even baptism doeth also now save us," but look in the parentheses, "not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ." That's a mouthful in those two verses. But I want to show you something in verse number 21. He mentions Noah and he mentions the flood, but he also mentions in verse 21 the like figure. And he mentions in verse number 20 that the 8 souls were saved by water. What does that mean? Well, it's a picture tonight. Noah and his family were in the ark. And they were safe because they were in the ark. The ark is a picture of Jesus Christ. And you remember when the rains began to come down and the Lord said, "Noah, come in to the ark." There was safety in that ark, and it was Noah and his family. But then the floods came, and the rains came, and flooded everything. And now we have Noah in the ark on top of the water. And this was a picture of Noah's life being spared by what God has done, being a refuge. And I want to say, in like manner tonight, we give the same picture when we get baptized, that we have ran to Jesus for refuge. We are in Him, and He's in us. And like Noah, when he was in the ark, and he was on top of those waters, and he was safe on the inside. Yet tonight, us, when we get baptized, we are like Noah in the ark. We are safe and we have refuge, and it gives a picture in Noah's day of baptism. Not only that, but in Matthew chapter number 28, in verse number 19, of course, this is the Lord's commands here, but in Matthew 28, notice if you would, verse number 19, he says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." Now, in verse number 19, that word teach and teach all nations, it means to evangelize. Evangelize. And so when someone is preached to and they received the gospel, then they are baptized. So I like to say it this way, evangelized, baptized, and disciplized. I know that's not a word, but I like using it. Because verse number 20 says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. And so in verse number 19 of Matthew 28, we see that they were to evangelize. And then those who were saved were then baptized. In verse number 20, then they would disciple those who were saved. What a blessing that is. But we go all the way back to the book of Acts, and we see here that when it comes to believers' baptism, there is a method. And that method is immersion. Verse number 38 of Acts 8. "And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him." He immersed him. Because he accepted Jesus as his personal Savior. "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness." And because of that, he baptized him. He publicly displayed the faith that was already accepted. We see the method. We see the motive, that is, accepting Jesus, then you get baptized. But what about the meaning? What about the meaning tonight? I mean, we looked at the motive, we looked at the method, but what about the meaning? When we break it down, what does it really mean when we say believer's baptism? What does baptism mean? Number one, it's identification. Back in the book of Romans chapter number 6, I want you to notice. Just give me a moment. Romans chapter number 6 and verse number 4. Listen to this. Romans 6 verse number 4. He says, "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death." Listen to this. "That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Again, it is a picture of something. It's identification. We are saying that when we embrace Jesus as our Savior, and now we're being baptized by water immersion, we are identifying with what He did upon the cross. We died to self. We were raised to walk in newness of life through the new birth. And we want the world to know it. And so he says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And so baptism, the meaning has to do, what's wrapped up in the whole idea has to do with identification, but again, it has to do with proclamation. 1 Timothy chapter number 6. 1 Timothy chapter number 6. Notice with me whenever I get there. 1 Timothy 6 and verse number 12. Paul told Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. What is that? That is one proclaiming that they have eternal life. Paul told Timothy and reminded him the day that he got baptized, this is my belief of this verse, that he professed a good profession and before many witnesses. And so the meaning of baptism has to do, and it's wrapped up in the idea of proclamation. You are telling the world you are new. It has to do, and it's wrapped up in the idea of identification. You are dead to self, and you are alive unto God, and you are showing the world what you have accepted. It's proclaiming to all that you have decided to follow Jesus, proclaiming to all the old you has died, proclaiming to all of your new life you're starting in Christ. But then lastly, another meaning of baptism, what's wrapped up in that idea of baptism, it's just simple instruction. We are told, again, those verses in Matthew chapter number 28, verse number 19 and 20, it's instruction. We are to, in verse number 19, we are to evangelize, teach all nations. Then we are to baptize, publicly professing. And then in verse number 20, we are to disciple those. And when we disciple, this is actually something that is left out a lot of the times in churches. And that is actually not only leading them to the Lord, them following through with believers' baptism, but also showing them how to walk with the Lord. All of that's wrapped up in Matthew 28, verse number 19 and 20. Well, tonight we're going to go ahead and close. Just wanted to bring a short refresher on believers' baptism, the motive, the method, and the meaning. Our invitation tonight is going to be a little special. Our daughter Lily, she has been wanting to play a little bit on the piano. She takes lessons, and so I believe she's just going to play a short little piece, a little instrumental, and then we're going to close tonight in a word of prayer. So take your time. Thank you. God, that was so good. Thank you so much. She's been wanting to do that, and so she just couldn't take it no more. And so today we threw her in. And so we hope you enjoyed that little piece, and we're proud of her. And so she's just going to stick it out with practicing, getting better and better each day on the piano. Thank you for joining us tonight. We appreciate your faithfulness. And good Lord willing, we will meet back on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. And then this coming up Sunday is going to be our Christmas service. And then after that, service picks back up on the following Sunday. And so just remember those things. We'll keep you informed. Everybody have a blessed night. And God bless.